college football season and what goes well with college football events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Is it Saturday yet? And week number 3, because we have some huge matchups this weekend in college football, including the matchup that we're going to discuss this evening. The Florida Gators are reeling after Billy Napier and the Florida Gators lost to South Florida at home on Saturday afternoon. Now they travel to LSU for their annual rivalry game, and LSU is sitting there primed and ready and waiting for them to come in. We're going to be joined by Graham Hall of 247 Sports The Gators, and we're going to be joined by Hunt Palmer from ESPN Baton Rouge to do a deep dive into the matchup this weekend in Baton Rouge between the Gators and the Tigers right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate
that. No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Florida and LSU preview show. And let's go ahead and start with the Florida Gators, who are reeling right now after a walk-off loss to a field goal of South Florida, 18-16 on Saturday. And the next few games for the Florida Gators include LSU, which is ranked, at Miami, which is ranked, and then they play the Longhorns of Texas. There is a very good possibility that they could be 0-3 in those matchups, but there is also an opportunity for them to bounce back at any one of those places because of the talent on the roster. To break down the Florida side of this matchup and to talk about the future right now of Billy Napier, here is Graham Hall from 247 Sports, the Gators. Graham, how are things with you in Gainesville, Florida? And boy, what a difference a week makes, because last week everybody had pegged Florida as a playoff team, and now Billy Napier puts himself on the top of the hot seat.
Well, I'm doing well. I don't think you can say the same for a lot of Florida fans or Billy Napier right now. But, you know, a lot of season left. This thing can still get turned around. You can't give up on a coach after week two, after one loss here. But certainly, you know, you said it well. Florida put themselves in a tough position, now having to face a very daunting slate ahead where they got to go to not just LSU, then take on Miami a week later, get a bye week, host Texas, and then go to Texas A&M. I mean, that is a very difficult slate.
Yeah.
And if you can even be 500 in that slate, you're going to feel better than you probably feel right now after losing to a USF team, which give them a lot of credit. You know, no one had USF as a potential college football playoff team, but right now, after two ranked wins in as many weeks, they look like the favorite to be that group of five representative in the college football playoffs. So it stings, certainly, no pun intended, for the Gators, but it could be a loss that ages pretty well depending on how the Bulls do down the stretch.
So, Graham, briefly, give us your thoughts on what went wrong Saturday against South Florida, please.
I mean, where do you start? Florida just had so many self-inflicted wounds in that contest, and I think that's why people are so frustrated in Gainesville, is that the Gators did everything they could necessarily to beat themselves. They failed to capitalize in the red zone on multiple occasions.
Yes.
They absolutely just had too many penalties, undisciplined penalties, obviously the spitting penalty there and the ejection, the defensive pass interference, those two penalties on the final decisive drive of the game. DJ Lagway missed throws that you saw him make a year ago, which just adds to the whatever you want to call it, the angst, I think would be a good word, surrounding where he's at in year two, having missed 9 months of valuable development time. You know, people are still bringing up questions about his shoulder and his ability to throw downfield and whether he's even willing to take those shots.
Yeah.
And defensively, Florida was expected to be a lot better. You know, Byron Brown is a really, really good quarterback. I think that there were some people out there who were sleeping on him. Go back to 2023 when he was fully healthy for 13 games. He had more than 4,000 yards of offense when he was there. And so this is a good quarterback. But Florida's defense didn't really get to the quarterback at a high rate like we expected this team would. Right. I think they had just one sack, allowed nearly 400 yards of total offense, had some busted coverages, including that one that resulted in the 66-yard touchdown by Singleton. And then for Florida, one of the things that has been was an issue in the first 2 years of the Billy Napier era were mistakes on special teams. And while this wasn't, you know, one of those 12 men on the field ones necessarily that really drew the ire of the Florida fans, they had a punt, you know, go through the hands of Tommy Doman. I don't know if it was a bad snap. I'd have to go back and watch it again. But it resulted in a safety, you know, 2 points in a game that was decided by 2 points. So the frustrating thing for Florida fans is that a lot of it felt all too familiar. Double-digit penalties. They're questioning the play calling. I'm not going to get into the fairness of that because there were too many issues elsewhere, self-inflicted wounds. And then they faced a team in USF that was able to capitalize on those mistakes. Florida had a smaller margin for error than a lot of people wanted to believe. And the Bulls took advantage in front of a Florida crowd of nearly 90,000. So it was one of the two games where you looked at the schedule early on that Florida was expected to get some momentum, pick up two wins before they got into this daunting SEC slate, had to face Miami and a Florida State team that looks much, much better than they did a year ago. So part of why people are depressed, whatever you want to call it, upset, is because this was an opportunity that Florida couldn't afford to let slip by, and the Gators did that, and now it's tough to be optimistic the rest of the way for a lot of people.
How was the locker room? Has he lost it? I know the fan base is already lost, but where's the locker room standing right now?
Probably doing better than the fan base. You know, they realize that there's so much of the season left ahead, and they can lean on what happened last year, where they started 1-2, had to make some changes in the bye week, and then looked much more competitive down the stretch. You know, in November last year, they even looked good in that Georgia game. And if DJ Lagway was out there against Texas, they probably would have felt a lot better about their chances of going into Austin last year and getting a victory. So this team can lean on recent experiences. They understand they don't want to fracture, splinter. They still have the full support internally, the majority at least. I can't speak for every single person, but Florida starters and second unit guys are still fully bought in on Billy Napier. They want to play for him. They want to help him be successful. And I think they also understand that it's way too early for them to blame the coaching staff, because everything I mentioned, the missed opportunities on offense, the lack of defensive success, the lack of takeaways against USF, the penalties. I mean, they got to look in the mirror and point the finger at them. You know, they can't have infractions, missed opportunities. You know, they're going to have to play better in order to have what, you know, their chances to succeed be a little bit higher. So I do think that for Florida, it's far too soon for them to blame anyone. They just have to focus on their own improvement, and they're still fully locked in, knowing that they can, you know, now being counted out a little bit can prove people wrong and prove Florida fans right that they are the team that many people thought they were heading into the season.
So, Graham, let's stop talking about ifs and talk about the matchup there on Saturday evening, because this team has to move forward with the LSU Tigers. That's what we're going to do on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to continue the Florida and LSU preview show right here on the Stingray Show. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Tagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still looking at a fender bender on 5th Street in the eastbound lane at 26th Avenue. Now, this will take you or brake light you back to 30th Avenue. And we also have a report of a fender bender in Coker, McFarland, westbound at Bill George Road. Do watch out for that one. It's going to knock out a lane, but don't see any extremely heavy delays. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. Our guest this evening is Graham Hall from 247 Sports, the Gators. And Graham, as we move forward, because Florida does have a huge game this weekend at 6:30 under the lights at Death Valley, give us your thoughts on that game upcoming this weekend for the Florida Gators. And I would also say that this is the best thing that could happen to Florida, them actually getting out of the state of Florida and going somewhere else to play a football game.
I don't know if you want to go to Death Valley, though.
Yeah, that's a tough place to play. You know, it's It's one that has some personal connections for several people on Florida's staff and their roster. A couple of Florida transfers from last year and Jakeem Jackson and Jack Pyburn, former assistant coach and Corey Raymond. Looks like he's doing a really good job there with the secondary. And obviously Billy Napier's ties to the state of Louisiana. You know, he recruited the area for 4 years, was there at Lafayette. You know, this is a, like you said, almost an annual rivalry between these two teams. It certainly has been a competitive one for the past two decades. I hope that with the SEC schedule change that we don't see it go away from being an annual occurrence. But I do think absolutely for Florida, they're going to have, you know, the whole world against them, and how that can galvanize or motivate them remains to be seen, because I think especially having everyone cheer against you, being the underdog, no longer in the AP top 25, DJ Lagway facing more questions than he's faced in his collegiate career. This was going to be a top 10 ranked matchup, I believe, you know, if Florida had taken care of business against USF. The Gators were 13th in the AP poll. We could have had a two top 10 teams facing off each other. Could have had, you know, College Game Day there in Baton Rouge. Now Florida's being counted out a little bit, but it's going to be what happens for the 60 minutes on the field. Yeah. Florida has to take care of, you know, the football. They have to limit turnovers. They have to get to the quarterback. They have to stop a really, really talented LSU quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier, and they're going to have to move the ball downfield more consistently than they've done in the first two games. Fortunately for Florida, I don't really know if this is as good of an LSU team as it was a year ago. I know they had the number one transfer portal class, and I know that they did, you know, a lot of really good stuff against Clemson, but I think you look at just the nature of the beast right now, that is going to be tough for Florida to overcome, certainly on Saturday. But like I said, they can lean on last year. They sacked Garrett Nussmeier seven times last year in Gainesville, got a double-digit win, 27-16. You know, they can lean on that from a confidence perspective. Yes. Because that will really, really, I think, aid their attempt to have some belief. You know, it's really definitely easy to be down on yourselves after week one. You lose to a USF team that we'll find out how good they are. But yeah, I think that absolutely for Florida, they're going to have to be on their P's and Q's. There's a very small margin for error being on the road.
Yeah,
I don't want to make a moral victory because it's all about the win-loss column ultimately. But for Florida fans, the only way they can feel good about this game, even if they lose, is this has to be a close competitive game in the fourth quarter. Florida has to have its chances. If you get beat in LSU, you know, on a walk-off field goal again, and you lose, you know, 41-38, people are going to feel even better, I think, about Florida's chances moving forward if they show those strides. That's the only way a loss will feel good. If they get dismantled, lose by 17-plus, then the, you know, roars for Billy Napier to no longer be the coach are going to be even louder.
Yes.
So this is going to be an interesting game, but fortunately Florida has recent history on their side, and I think they're going to lean on that against the LSU offensive line that is not as talented as it was a year ago.
You know, Graham, two-part question. What's a bigger concern for the Florida Gators right now, offense or defense?
I'll say offense.
You could say both.
I think you could say that there are fair issues on both sides of the ball. You know, Florida against USF struggled with the tempo that the Bulls had. You know, there were times where they looked disorganized, substituted late, had coverage issues that led to that one touchdown by the Bulls. You know, those things have to be corrected. LSU's not going to play as up-tempo as USF, so Florida should have a chance to be set more often and be on the same page. A lot of young guys there. But defensively, they're going to have to get pressure. If they can get Caleb Banks back this Saturday, who has missed the first two games and is Florida's best defensive tackle, they'll probably feel better about getting pressure along the interior, because Banks was so dominant last year in that matchup with LSU. So that would be huge for Florida's defense. I think that, you know, Grayson Howard playing a larger role as well within that front seven. He was Florida starting, you know, middle linebacker a year ago, has played, I think, just 10 or 11 snaps this season so far as he's worked his way back from injury. That would help defensively as well. But DJ Lagway is probably the biggest question mark for Florida. If he can have a game like he had last year where he is explosive and hits downfield shots and settles for underneath throws and, you know, takes what the defense gives him rather than trying to force anything, and he's reading zone defense as well, then Florida's going to have its chances in this game. But you need to see it to believe it there. That has certainly been a question the first 2 weeks. So Florida has problems on both sides of the ball, and, you know, their offensive line has underperformed given the amount of talent. I had said before the season that this could be the best offensive line in the country with four or five starters returning, more than 3,000 snaps coming back from last season alone. And they just haven't looked fantastic in these first 2 weeks. They need to do a better job. You know, the left side of the line looks better than the right side of the line. So it's going to take a complete effort for Florida. They're going to need to get some explosives, which we haven't seen too much in the first couple of weeks. I don't know how many plays they have over 30 yards. It's probably only, you know, you can count them on one hand. I would guess that Long Island game is an outlier. So That's going to be the question for Florida. Can they be better on both sides of the ball, which you would expect to be the case as the season progresses, is that you keep making strides, and whether or not they can do it is going to dictate if they have a chance in this game.
Let's go ahead and break it down. Saturday night, Death Valley, where dreams come to die. The real Death Valley, because they proved it on the field versus Clemson. It is LSU. It is Florida. It is a rivalry game, and it is Tuesday, and currently the line is 8.5. How do you see it playing out? Who you got winning?
Yeah, I do think this will be a one-score game. I think it'll be a little bit higher scoring game than maybe some people believe. I think both of these offenses are going to have their success, even though there's talent defensively on both sides of the ball. You got two quarterbacks who are very capable passers, can make some guys miss. They have good vision. I would give the edge, obviously, to LSU just based on what we've seen out of DJ Lagway. I would give the edge to LSU's offense so far, but I think Florida is going to do a really good job running the ball with Jaden Baugh and Jacoby Jackson. The Tigers are going to look to establish the run as well with Caden Durham. You know, this is a team that I think both these teams are going to look to establish the run and then take their shots downfield, and whichever quarterback completes more of them is going to end up winning this game in my mind. Defensively, whichever defensive front can affect the quarterback the most, I think is going to be a huge factor in this game. And for Florida, you haven't seen it enough to feel confident that they're going to have some success in that department. But like I said, the Gators last year were able to do it against the Tigers. Are they able to do it now, you know, nearly 10 months later? That's a huge question for Florida going into this matchup. I will give the edge to LSU, though, given the home field, given what the Tigers have, controlling their own destiny right now, being one of the top five teams in the country, having those wins against Clemson. You know, that is certainly a factor here in this contest. LSU is the more confident team, and you got a Florida team that needs to stop licking its wounds and focus on so much football in front of them. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I right now think LSU wins this game by 6 or 7 points. I think it's going to be 38-31 if I had to make a score prediction, and I think it's going to be close in the fourth quarter. And it's going to be decided by a couple of plays down the stretch. For Florida, they can't shoot themselves in the foot on those plays. They can't allow LSU to have chances when Florida should have been able to get off the field. They can't have turnovers. DJ Lagway can't force anything into coverage because he's confident and trusts his arm. Take what the defense gives you. Establish the run. Make plays when you can. Don't have any special teams mistakes. And Florida, if they do all that, they're going to be right there in it in the fourth quarter.
Graham, go and enjoy covering LSU in Florida. Thank you for taking time to join us. Go Gators this weekend, and we will definitely catch up with you down the line. And hopefully Billy Napier can get off the hot seat just a little bit, because I know that would make your life a lot easier.
Hey, we'll find out pretty soon. I appreciate you guys talking it over with me. Always a fun time here. We'll see what happens. I can't wait to see how this season turns out for Florida. Still early, but it certainly is interesting now.
So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Florida side of this matchup. There's a little bit of optimism there from Graham Hall about them going into this LSU game. Now, let's turn our attention to the Bayou Bengals, and we're going to do that on the other side of this break as Hunt Palmer is on deck from ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge to talk all things LSU and the Tigers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Make the catch. Make them bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Break the tackle. Scores! Scores! Scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort.
DCH Regional Medical Center.
Two Dime Tuscaloosa.
And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home. Sport. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. Welcome back inside the Florida and LSU preview show right here on the Stingray Show. We just finished up with Graham Hall talking about all things Gators and the disappointment down there in Gainesville. Now let's turn our attention to where they are excited and happy, and that is over in Baton Rouge, because they are 2-0. They actually won a season opening game for the first time in five seasons. And hey, they even stuck it to Clemson, proving that they are the true Death Valley. Hunt Palmer of ESPN Radio there in Baton Rouge is about to join us to talk all things LSU and the Bayou Bengals. Hunt, how are things with you as we sit here getting ready for the rivalry game between LSU and Florida?
Well, you laid it out. Things are really good in Baton Rouge. You got a 2-0 team for the first time in 6 years. So no panic has set in yet. Generally speaking, that happens at some point in the fall. But right now, it's a pretty good spot.
With Louisiana Tech, was it just one of those things where, hey, we're really enjoying our time from last week? We came out a little slow. We won. It's not a big deal. We're kind of getting ready for something bigger. this was kind of a sandwich game between Clemson and Florida. La Tech, it's easy to be let down after such a wonderful road win to start the season. What happened in that La Tech game? Am I wrong in my assessment?
We don't know. It's possible that LSU got sky high for Clemson, had 1-0 written all over their locker room all summer, were the primetime national TV ESPN crew game in front of 80,000, and then came back and weren't ready to play in week two. Like, that's possible. It's also possible that they don't have a very good offensive line. They don't run the ball very well. And the offense is going to have its struggles because they didn't light it up at Clemson. It could have been a little bit better, had what a lot of people thought was a touchdown taken off the board. Could have been 24 points, missed a field goal. Could have been, you know, I mean, they could have scored more, but they scored 17. And then you come back against Louisiana Tech, who's not very good, and you don't have a great offensive day. You don't run the ball effectively outside of two plays. You turn the ball over on your first drive. Like, so we'll probably find out against Florida. If they come out against Florida and score 42 points and Garrett Nussmeier looks great and they run the ball a little bit and the defense still plays awesome, you'll go, okay, there was a letdown game. It happens every single year.
Yeah.
If they come out against Florida and they score 17 points or 14 points or 10 points and they can't run the ball, then you might go, well, they may not be very good on the offensive line and may not be able to run it. Like, so we don't really know. At this point, it was ugly. It was a boring game. The stadium emptied out in the third quarter. There weren't a lot of highlights, weren't a lot of big plays. The defense played really well, as I think they're going to most weeks. But we just don't really know how to diagnose that Louisiana Tech game until we get some more data points down the road.
Before we get to Stephen's question, is the offensive line bad or are they just inconsistent?
I think the offensive line's pretty average. That's my guess. Now, it's okay. A huge deal that their best offensive lineman, center Braylon Moore, who was the SEC offensive lineman of the week in the game at Clemson, literally on the first play, got rolled up on and missed the rest of the game. He went to the locker room, came back out. They taped up his ankle. He went and did some dummy snaps and tried to fire off, and it just didn't feel good enough. So at halftime, he put on street clothes and sat the rest of the way. He's a big piece to what they're trying to do, and he's very questionable for the game against Florida. He doesn't play against Florida. Your next game is an FCS game against Southeastern Louisiana. So you got a target for the Ole Miss game in 2 weeks if he can't play against Florida. But his absence, I think, is a big deal. How big? You know, we'll see. DJ Chester is his backup. He was the starting center for the entire season last year. He was the only returning starter from an offensive line. They got four guys drafted. But it was a question mark all of camp. And you went to Clemson, and LSU's game plan was such that they were going to hide that offensive line. They did some creative things in the run game. They got the ball out of Garrett Nussmeier's hands very, very quickly. It was a quick hitter game. And you know, they didn't dominate Clemson up front, but they didn't get dominated. You thought they could push Louisiana Tech around, and they could not. So it's possible the offensive line is bad. I think it's more likely that it's just very average and that they're not going to be a strength of the team. But, you know, that injury in the first play of the game hurt, and, you know, may hurt again against Florida.
2 years ago, LSU's defense was absolutely atrocious. Last year, it got a little bit better. What have you seen from the defense so far through the first two games that gives you optimism moving forward this season?
I think this is a championship-level defense.
Okay.
I think it's not as star-studded as some of the LSU defenses of the past where you've had first-team All-Americans and top 15 picks, but they've just got a lot of really good players at every level. They've got eight guys on the defensive front that can absolutely play. They rotate them. They can rush the passer. They can stop the run. They have bottled up the run completely for 2 weeks, which has been really encouraging. The linebacker is kind of the star level of the defense with Harold Perkins and Whit Weeks, who are household names at this point in the SEC, and they've been great. And then in the secondary, they have not been good enough the last couple of years. They played really, really well the last 2 weeks. When they got A.J. Halsey back from suspension in the second half of the Clemson game, they shut Clemson out in the second half. And then while the starters were in against Louisiana Tech, they pitched a shutout too. They put the second team in at the end of the game, and they busted a coverage, and Tech hit a long play for a touchdown. But it's a really, really solid, steady veteran defense that has not busted any assignments, that has not given up any big plays, that has made plays in the backfield. It's been it's been really good. And, you know, I don't know how good Clemson's offense is. I think it's pretty good. I know Louisiana Tech's offense is atrocious, but I think that this defense, to my eye in camp and for 2 weeks, has been championship level. I think it's a top 15 defense in the country.
You know, looking at LSU, offense I've been kind of impressed with here and there. Talk about that wide receiver room real quick. And if you had to guess now, after seeing two games, who do you think the top three receivers are going to be by season's end?
It's kind of like the defense in that LSU's had a lot of like really high profile wide receivers over the years. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. I mean, Josh Reed won the Blitnikoff. They've had superstars. I don't know if they have a superstar in this receiver group. Aaron Anderson's very good. He's 5'7". Nick Anderson set the Oklahoma freshman touchdown receiving record with 10 2 years ago, but he's probably a second teamer. Chris Hilton's a burner who's got elite level talent, but has never stayed healthy. But they've got seven guys when you talk about Xavion Thomas and Kyle Parker and all these guys that can really play. And that gives them fresh legs. That gives them a lot of different skill sets. It gives Garrett Nussmeier a lot of different targets and not necessarily one that you want to shade a safety to take them away. They've got a lot of different options. So if you're asking me for the top three this year, I think Aaron Anderson's a slam dunk there. He led LSU in receiving last year and had 99 yards in the Clemson game as well. I think Berrion Brown, what you've seen from him, he was really good in the game on Saturday, and then probably should have had a touchdown in the Clemson game that was taken off the board. And then I, for my third slot there, would probably go with Chris Hilton, but I wouldn't feel convicted in it. I think that Nick Anderson and Kyle Parker are really possibilities there as well. That's the thing. Like, it's a very, very deep room, and Garrett Nussmeier is not a guy that's going to lock in and just force it to one guy. He's very capable of seeing the field and getting it to whoever's open.
Let's go on ahead and talk about the future, and that, of course, is Saturday night versus the Florida Gators, and we're going to do that on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to finish up this interview talking about the matchup from the LSU side of LSU and Florida right after this.
Yeah, Berrion Brown, I am so heavily impressed with.
Yeah.
I just saw the first game and that touchdown taken off the board, but he was doing some things. Well, he didn't have the ball in his hands, I was impressed with. But then I saw the stats last week, and I was like, man. I was like, I've always loved him at Kentucky. I was like, we need to start feeding this guy a little more.
Well, it's nice when you can leave an offense that can't complete a forward pass, and you can come to one that had a 4,000-yard passer last year. So he's probably in a pretty happy place.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show, Matt Coulter on NASCAR, Larry the Music Man, and also more Bama football discussion, plus your phone calls. We'll be ready to rock and roll Wednesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still looking at a fender bender on 5th Street in the eastbound lanes at 26th Avenue. Now, this will take you or brake light you back to 30th Avenue. And we also have a report of a fender bender in Coker, McFarland, westbound at Bill George Road. Do watch out for that one. It's going to knock out a lane, but don't see any extremely heavy delays. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Where the season never ends.
Hey Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. This is the Florida and LSU preview show. Our guest this evening is Hunt Palmer, who is of ESPN Radio there in Baton Rouge, and we're talking all things LSU. And Hunt, when you look at this matchup on Saturday, talk about the hype of the LSU faithful with Florida coming in, and talk about, do the LSU fans really hate Florida as a rival?
Yeah, that's the thing about LSU is that they've got a lot of rivals. They're nobody's chief rival. Everybody that LSU considers a huge rival has someone right next door that they care a little bit more about. And you think about Ole Miss and State, you think about Texas A&M, Texas, Florida's got Florida State and Georgia and Tennessee, and Alabama's got Auburn and Tennessee, and LSU's got a rivalry with all of them, but you're never number one on that list. The Florida rivalry is one that was kind of forced on LSU in the early 90s. They had Georgia and Auburn were paired together, and Alabama and Tennessee were paired together, and the SEC was trying to find permanent opponents, so they looked at LSU and Florida as kind of the two remaining big programs. Said, all right, you guys, y'all are together. And the joke around here in Baton Rouge is that LSU's athletic director must have been in the bathroom during the meeting when they forced it, because if you're going to sign me up to have to play Steve Spurrier every single year, that's not a really great thing. And it was not a great thing for LSU. They got dominated in the 90s, aside from one game in 97 when LSU beat number one Florida for the first time in the history of Tiger Stadium. But over the last 10 years, LSU's dominated the rivalry. It's been lopsided. Last year, Florida got the best of LSU in a bit of a surprising result there in Gainesville. But LSU's really come. It's crazy for those of us that grew up in the 90s to watch LSU control Florida the way LSU has. Even the terrible LSU team in 2020, when Florida won the SEC East, went to the Swamp, which was empty because of COVID, and won in that crazy fog throw in the shoe game. It's a storied rivalry that's had a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches, a lot of great games, a lot of wild endings. And LSU fans certainly have a special place of hatred in their heart for Florida, and that tends to come out when this game shows up. It's been in October. Traditionally, that COVID game was in December with that weird schedule, and this one in the heat of September. But it'll be an awesome environment inside Tiger Stadium on Saturday night for sure.
Okay, with Florida coming off the loss to South Florida talk about how LSU fans are treating this game this week?
I think LSU fans approach it with a lot of confidence. LSU fans are very, very familiar with Billy Napier, spent a long time down the road in Lafayette and has now been in Florida for a few years. LSU fans certainly remember last year, DJ Lagway with basically one leg beat LSU, and Florida's defensive front just annihilated a good pass-blocking LSU offensive line and just wrecked that game for Garrett Nussmeier throughout the second half. So there's a little bit of a revenge aspect. Anytime those orange helmets and blue jerseys come running out of that tunnel, you know that there's a lot of talent there. And so, yeah, I don't think anybody's terrified of this team like you would have been a Spurrier team in the 90s or some of those great Urban Meyer teams, but you understand that there's a threat. I mean, LSU was an elite team, a national championship team in 2003, and Florida came into Tiger Stadium, was not very good. It was a Ron Zook team with a freshman, Chris Leak, at quarterback, and Florida won that day. So, you know, last year Florida wasn't great, and LSU looked like they were on their way for something special after they beat South Carolina, beat Ole Miss, and you know, Florida took it to them for a third straight loss. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of overconfidence in Baton Rouge with the fan base, but there's certainly an air of confidence around this team because you got what everyone thinks is a really good defense, and LSU fans trust their quarterback.
All right, looking at the matchup Saturday night with LSU, and you've seen them for two games, where should LSU fans be concerned that Florida could take advantage of them?
I think the defensive front, you look at Banks and Sapp, if Banks is able to play, those two guys are really, really big problems. They were problems for LSU last year. They've got to find a way to block them. That's just really the only weak spot on this team. You look around at LSU's roster, top to bottom, and outside of offensive line, LSU's really good. And I think if someone's going to beat them, and I would assume that they'll lose a game two, maybe even three, on down the road, I think the offensive line will be a big piece to that puzzle. Just a question of whether or not that's Saturday. If LSU's offensive line plays really well against this Florida defensive front, I think LSU will win the game by a couple scores.
Okay.
Hutt, what's your biggest concern of this LSU team right now after two games? I've heard you say the offensive line, but is it more on offense? Is it more on defense? What's the biggest concern right now?
The only small thing that I would toss in is that most really good college football teams, not all of them, but most of them have a quarterback that can really hurt you with his legs. It's just something that's very, very common in college football. And Garrett Nussmeier just really can't. Like, he got a 10-yard pickup against Clemson that was a really nice run because he never does it. It was unremarkable if you watch college football at different teams every week, just a read option where he ran for 10 yards and it fell down. But that's just something he didn't do at all last year. He's stationary back there for the most part. Like, he's got good instincts. He gets rid of it very quickly. He doesn't take a lot of sacks, but you can get to him and really disrupt things in the way that if you got to Jaden Daniels, he could go make a big play out of it. And so it hasn't reared its ugly head. But it's in the back of my mind that you would like someone that was a little bit more willing to move his feet than Garrett is.
How do you see it playing out on Saturday evening there in Death Valley, Florida, or LSU?
I think LSU wins the game. I think Florida has a tough time putting up a lot of points on this LSU defense. But at the same time, I think LSU, until proven otherwise, has some issues on offense. I don't know at this point, as we're recording, if DJ Chester is going to be the center or if Braylon Moore can return. That's a big deal to me, and I don't know what the deal is with Banks on Florida's defensive line, and that's a big deal. So there are some variables there at the biggest matchup in the game that I'll have to see as the week progresses. But I would call it right now something like 21-17, something pretty tight, pretty late. But it's at home for LSU, and I trust LSU's quarterback. So I think that I would pick LSU to win. But I right now, knowing what I know, I don't think I would pick them to win by 14, 18 points.
Hunt, look, man, thank you. Good luck to LSU this weekend. Enjoy covering the game, and we would love to catch up with you down the line to continue to talk this season about the LSU Tigers. And I will leave you with this. Go Tigers. Let's go.
Appreciate y'all. Happy to do it.
Hey, Hunt, as we walk out the door, you got a score prediction for the game?
Yeah, I think 21-17, I think.
Oh, wow.
You are going
with a one-score game.
He just said that, man.
Oh, I was out. I'm sorry.
Hunt, thank you, man.
Y'all got it.
Can y'all get me some more Adderall over here? Thanks. Appreciate it. I need more Adderall, Steven. Don't throw your hands up, Steven. You've done that a million times. I've done it, what, once, twice in my life?
So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the LSU and Florida preview show. Heath, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Florida comes out. I'm not willing to pick them yet, but I think they're going to give LSU all they want and more.
That's not going to shock me, Steven, and I actually like your prediction. I do. I really feel like that South Florida will beat Florida 2 weeks in a row. I just feel like that is a hangover right now. They can't get it out of their mind. They're going to hear it on campus. They're seeing it on message boards. They're seeing it on social media. They're seeing it on wherever. Everywhere they go, they're hearing how terrible they are. And you don't want to send a fragile team mentally to Death Valley.
Yeah.
You just don't want to see that. And that's why I'm kind of leaning toward LSU and a blowout in this. But I will say this, Stephen. If Florida wins this game, will I be shocked? 0%. 0%. If LSU wins this game by a blowout, will I be shocked? 0%. But I'll say this. Whoever wins this game will springboard higher and further with their season. And I think the opposite will happen to the loser. I think it'll start riding the tails going down.
Heath, while we were talking about LSU, the hover helmet for Florida stopped turning. I don't know why.
It's an omen. It's staring at you, Steven. It's staring at you. It's staring at you that you made that prediction. Like, bruh, seriously? Seriously, you going to pick up? Bruh, seriously? Yeah. Those things run on batteries, or are they plugged up? What happened there?
No, it's off of air. And for some reason, I guess the air's stagnant. I don't know, and it quit turning. Anyway, that is going to wrap up this edition of the Stingray Show. When we come back on the Wednesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, immediately following Hey Coach, we are going to be doing the matchup that is in Knoxville between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Georgia Bulldogs. We will be joined by Mark Schlabaugh, and we will be joined by Ryan Silva to do a deep dive into that matchup. So that is going to be tomorrow evening at 7:30, immediately following Hey Coach, right here on the Stingray Show.
Hey, when you bring my Adderall, bring a carbon monoxide detector for Stevens' Florida helmet back there. Something's wrong with the gear. We don't know what's going on.